Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it still okay to say Merry Christmas, or is it a little bit too late for that? So what do you say? Happy New Year in advance. Whatever the case it might be, it's good to see you. It's a great honor and a privilege to be here sharing the Word of God this morning. All protocols observed, Pastor Clive and Jenny in absentia, and Colleen and Kay, thank you very much for having us here. It's always a great honor and privilege. Now, if you're sitting next to someone who has ears and a working mouth, turn to them and tell them that it's good to see you. And they should return that in kind. It's good to see you. Amen. My name is Victor. As Claire has said, I lead the Crowley congregation. And we thank God because it's been a wonderful year full of God's goodness and full of God's favor and mercy. And this morning, I believe that God wants to talk to us as we finish the year and finish the year strong. For those from Crowley, it's almost going to be like a double take of what we tackled last Sunday, although we're going to expand it a little bit more. And this morning, God has given me a word that I want to share with us, just kind of like to conclude the series that you've been doing. What series have we been working on for the past few weeks? The names of God. I don't know what name of God has stood out as more prominent to you, maybe through experience or maybe revelation. I don't know. For some, it's been Jehovah Jireh. It's been Jehovah Rapha. Shalom. Nisi. Skedu. Wow, so many. And today we're going to kind of, I don't want to use the word wrap it up because you're not wrapping up the names of God, but maybe like a conclusion of the series. And I want us to reflect on a name that many of us probably have heard before. And I want us to make it a little bit more contemplative and prophetic. I'm not going to teach, so I will try and preach. So you better get your Pentecostal hat on today. Hallelujah. And the name I want us to focus on is Ebenezer. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7. And I'm going to read a portion of scripture from verse 12. 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and he named it Ebenezer, stone of help, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Now, I don't know how you ended up here this morning, or maybe I want to put it slightly differently. I don't know where you feel you are in your life. Where are you in your walk with God? Where are you spiritually? Where are you in your marriage? Where are you in terms of personal development and career? But maybe most importantly is, how did you end up there? There is a song by a guy known as Travis Green, and I'm just going to quote the lyrics. I love it so much. It's called You Made a Way. And he says, you made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was all over, you made a way. And we are standing here only because you made a way. And says, now we're here looking back on where we've come from because of you and nothing we've done to deserve the love, the mercy you've shown. But your grace was strong enough to pick us up. And this morning, I want us just to reflect for a minute about milestones and about spiritual markers. Because sometimes we need reminders of what God did yesterday so that we can trust him for today and tomorrow. And I hope that at least almost everybody in this building celebrated their birthday this year. Only the ones whose birthdays are coming tomorrow, 30th and the 31st. Don't worry, it's still coming. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries. We commemorate days. We remember things that have happened in the past. In fact, in our house, yesterday we were doing something interesting that my daughter Kyla started a while back. Every now and again, Kyla will come to me and say, "Daddy, how tall am I?" And she will bring me the tape measure, and we have this spot on the side of the fridge where we mark how high she's, how tall she's grown. And every now and again, she will look at that and ask, "Am I growing any taller?" And we'll keep doing that. But yesterday, for some reason, all of us had to do it just to compare our heights. Because there is a certain 13-year-old who is priding himself in being the tallest of us all. But milestones and marking how far we've come. And in time, sometimes we do need to have some spiritual markers for us to see how far God has brought us. For us to reflect and say, had God not come through for me in this situation, I don't know what I would have done. I had come to my end, but God came through for me. I was at the verge of giving up in life, but God showed up just when all hope was gone. Spiritual markers are important in our lives. And some things, we call them milestones sometimes. And I remember back in the day when our kids were growing up and we had this book we were given by, I don't know if it's the midwives or the health visitors, you know that red book? Yeah. And once in a while they will come and put a star and mark and say, yeah, they are growing within the normal range. Or if your child is, you know, has a very good appetite, they are a little bit outside that range. Or if they don't have a very good appetite, they are below that. But on the whole, they will say that you are on the right path. You are growing as we projected. Milestones are important. And even as you drive along, we've got milestones that tell us how far you've gone or how far you are from your destination. If you like road trips like I do, you might take a little bit more attention, pay more attention to these markers. In fact, according to the Railway Clauses Something Act, I think of 1840-something, milestones are a legal requirement in the railway lines. Anyone working in the railway line, please, working for the railways, correct me if I'm wrong. And these were made a legal requirement because people had to know how far they have traveled in relation to where they intend to go. So God now today is saying, Victor, don't just run into 2026. I wanted to pause for a moment and look back and see how far have you come this year. Because if you see how far you've come this year, you will have the trust and confidence that I will still continue carrying you the next year. Last week in Crowley, we looked at a topic that God carried us. He didn't push us. He didn't drag us. Some of us were unwilling, though, but he still carried us, and that is why we are where we are today. So a time came in the nation of Israel, and unfortunately, the people of God did evil in the eyes of God. And a story is told in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4 that the enemies, the Philistines, came against them and they waged war against them. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says that now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and they encamped at Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped at Aphek, whatever that word is. Verse 10, the Bible says, and Israel was defeated. By the way, they were defeated in verse number 2. About 4,000 of them died. Then in between, just leave the verse on there. In between, they said, we are losing the battle because we don't have the presence of God with us. So they ran back home. They went and got hold of the Ark of the Covenant. They brought it to battle. And the Bible says that there was such a jubilation and a celebration because the Ark of the Covenant arrived. Now the enemy heard about it and the enemy was afraid. And the enemy was like, what are we going to do? But the enemy encouraged himself. I'm talking about himself figuratively. And the nation of Israel went again to confront the enemy. And verse number 10, the Bible says, and Israel was defeated and they fled every man to his home. Now, that is a picture of a disaster. In fact, the Bible says that 30,000 people died on that day. Verse number 11, the Bible says, and the ark of God was captured and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. What a sad day. Now you can continue reading the tragedy that followed after that. There was a guy from the tribe of Benjamin, and he ran with a message. And the Bible says that when Eli the priest heard that his sons had died in battle, he wasn't very moved. But when he heard that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken away, the Bible says that he fell on his feet, on his chair, and he broke his neck and died. Phinehas' wife was heavy with a child. And the Bible says when she heard, not that the husband had died, but that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken away, the Bible says she went into labor and she was distressed and she gave birth to a child. And because it was a very difficult one, unfortunately, she lost her life. But just before she died, she said, "Name this child Ichabod." And that is to say, the glory of God has departed from Israel. That is chapter 4. And the Philistines were very glad because they had the Ark of the Covenant and they took it with them. And the Bible says in chapter 5, they took it to different cities. But unfortunately, wherever they went with this Ark of the Covenant, there was disaster. And I pause there to say, by the way, what is a blessing for the people of God can bring judgment to people who are not godly. They thought because this Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of the presence of God and a symbol of their victory, when we have it, we shall also have victory. Unfortunately, when they took it to their tents and to their camps, even their own gods bowed to the Ark of the Covenant. They could not withstand the presence of God. Anyway, cut the long story short, 7 months later, they said, "We don't want this thing, take it back." And it was taken back, and it went and lodged in the house of a guy. Can't remember his name. It's in chapter 6 and chapter 7. And eventually the people of God said, the ark has come back. But for 20 years, nothing happened. The ark just came and was stored in someone's area. I think the guy was called Eliezer. He was sanctified, he was consecrated, and they had it. But now something interesting happens in chapter number 7. Let me first of all read 1 Samuel 7 and verse 2. The Bible says, the ark remained in Kiriath Jearim for a long time, 20 years in all. During that time, all Israel mourned because it seemed the Lord had abandoned them. But then, in the midst of all this, Samuel got tired. Now, we're going to be a little bit Pentecostal this morning. Can you look at your friend or the person sitting next to you and tell them, sometimes you've got to get tired. You got to get tired. After 20 years of failure, after 20 years of fear, 20 years of defeat, Samuel got tired. And I wish we could come to that point today before we go into 2026 and say, I want to get tired because of some of the things that I'm seeing happening in this life. I want to get tired because of how the enemy is moving around unabated. I am sick and tired of seeing the enemy mess up my family. I am sick and tired of seeing this sickness plague my people. I am sick and tired of seeing how the enemy is plundering our land. I am sick and tired of seeing things on the media and makes me wonder, why can God not do something? I am tired. Sometimes we don't change and move things until we get to that point where you say, I am tired. And Samuel was like, we gotta do something. And he assembled the people, and the Bible says, the beginning of that chapter, the Bible says, and the word of God came through Samuel. So he began to speak the word of God. He began to encourage the people. He began to remind them that we've still got a God in heaven, that even though we are in failure and defeat, our God knows no defeat. Our God knows no failure. Our God does not bow down to any enemies. And the Bible says, it came to a point, they came to Samuel and they said, could you please pray for us? We need a change. And can I have two volunteers, please? No, three volunteers come up here. Three volunteers. Thank you. Thank you. And the Bible says he gathered the whole nation at a place between Mizpah and Shin. And he gathered the whole nation. And I want you to understand that these people by now, they must have been in their hundreds of thousands. Do you mind coming a little bit forward? They must have been in their hundreds of thousands. They must have been in probably almost in their millions. If you can have an army that has about 30 people being killed, 30,000 people being killed, then if you do that and you do a little bit of math, then they must have been there hundreds of thousands. And he gathered the whole nation, hundreds of thousands, between Shin and between Mizpah at a place called Ebenezer. Now, let me remind you, Ebenezer in chapter 4 is where they lost the battle. Ebenezer is where they were killed. Ebenezer is where they were made to flee for their lives. The Bible says that every man ran to his house. Ebenezer is a place where the enemy took away the presence of God. It is a place the Ark of the Covenant fell in the hands of the enemy. And the Bible says, let's go back there in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, and verse 12, the Bible says, and Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and named it Ebenezer, the stone of help, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Now, this is important because this was after 20 years of failure, 20 years of losing everything, 20 years of defeat. And the Bible says we are changing the story today. We will go back to the same place where we lost everything. We will go back to the same place where the enemy celebrated. And the Bible says just before that, when the enemy heard that they are gathering, the enemy came to attack them. But this time round, things were different. The people had prayed. The people had repented their sins. The people had consecrated themselves. They were all right before God. And the Bible says when the enemy came, guess what happened? God thundered from heaven. This morning, I want to prophesy to someone that no matter what life has dealt you, that no matter what issues you are dealing with, there is a God who still loves you. There is a God who can thunder from heaven. If you go back to that place of consecration and say, God, I know I messed up. I know I didn't walk right with you. But this time around, oh God, I will humble myself. The Bible says the nation repented their sin. They prayed. They sought the face of God. They reconciled themselves back to God. Then God thundered from heaven and scattered their enemies. This is that day when we gather and say that our God is the same God who is able to lift up. He's able to bind up the brokenhearted. Amidst the seasons of failure and distress, our God is able to turn things around. Hallelujah. So God gave them supernatural victory. And this also symbolizes redemption. Now, Mizpah in the Bible, in the Hebrew, it means a watchtower. And Shin, the Hebrew word for Shin, it means a rock that is hewed like a tooth. And when I was praying and meditating upon this, and I was like, Samuel, why Ebenezer? And God gave me three things. Number one, it is because there is a watchtower. The Bible says that he who watches over Israel does not sleep, does not slumber. Turn it around. And this time that you've been going through the distress you've been going through, I came to tell you that your God was not asleep. Your God saw everything. He saw the tears. He saw the jeers. He saw the pain. He saw the agony. Because I like saying, he who gave you eyes can see. In fact, he came to Moses and he said, I want you to go back to my people in Egypt because I have seen their affliction and I have heard their cry. God has been watching over you. God has been watching over your family. God has been watching over this land. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he who watches over us does not sleep or slumber. And then I was like, God, why Shane? Why would this guy bring us to Shane? And it's because he is our rock of refuge. The Bible says that he is our rock of refuge. He is a solid rock on which we stand. In fact, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he's a chief cornerstone. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. And now if we run to him, he is our rock of refuge. If we run to him, he is a rock of ages cleft for us, in whom we will hide. Praise the name of Jesus. So when you're caught between the rock and the hard place, there is another rock. And the Bible says his name is a rock. So God is saying to us today, no matter what you were dealt with in 2025, I was still watching over you. And I am still your rock. I am still your defender. I am still your fortress. And he says, now let's come to another place called Ebenezer. And Ebenezer simply means I am your stone of help. Amen. You didn't make it because you're strong. You made it because I helped you. You didn't make it because you are very knowledgeable. You made it because I helped you. You didn't make it because you know how to do business deals. You made it because I am the one who gives you power to make wealth. You didn't make it because you have the doctors in the land. You are healed because I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. You didn't make it because you are in a good employment, you had a good salary. It is because I'm Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, your provider. I am your stone of help. And this is redemption. And he's saying to them that that place where you had shame is the same place I'm going to give you glory. That same place where you're defeated is where I'm going to give you victory. Because I am your Ebenezer. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. God bless you. You may keep those ones. And I want to wrap it up and say that just as it was with the nation of Israel, that God turned their former shame into a monument of grace. God would want us this morning to pause and say, before I go to 2025, I want to remember what the Lord has done. Because I perceive in my spirit, we are entering into a season of supernatural breakthroughs, miracles. I hear God say we're going to start experiencing a lot of victory in areas where we have suffered defeat in the past. So you just better look back and say, God, I don't know what happened here, but I thank you because the tables are turning. And I thank you because this is the area I will see a lot of victory in my life. Missed opportunities will be replaced with open doors because God says the matter is still in my hands. Between Mizpah and Shin, between the rock and the hard place, and between me watching over you, I will continue helping you. And the same God who thundered on the enemies and the enemies were defeated is going to scatter your enemies this coming year. Deuteronomy 28 verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. In other words, they will be perfectly scattered, never to regather again. Praise the name of Jesus. I wish I had some Nigerians in the house who would say, scatter the enemy. Scatter the enemy. Never to gather again. Praise the name of Jesus. I am not from Nigeria, but I love Nigerians. And this is where we say, may the enemies of your marriage be scattered in Jesus' name. May the enemies of your health be scattered in Jesus' name. The enemies of this land, may they be scattered in the name of Jesus. The enemies of this church, may they be scattered in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we are not hopeless. We are not hopeless. We are not helpless. We have a hope in God. We have a hope in God. And I want to conclude and say that God is going to come to our rescue. When they gathered at Ebenezer and the Lord thundered from heaven, the enemy was scattered. This guy just reminded them, just say, thus far the Lord has taken you. Because he didn't give up on you. You were not consumed. You know that day when you thought I'm going to die, he pushed back the enemy. He held stuff back. He fought for you battles you didn't know he was fighting for you. Even when you were yet asleep in your bed, God was still waging war. He's the Lord of hosts, still fighting and defending you. And Psalm 124, this one as I conclude. I want to conclude here. Psalm 124 asks a very dangerous question that I like from verse 2. If the Lord had not been on our side when the enemies attacked us. I like what Pastor Clive says, that the enemies are not people. The enemies are spiritual forces. The enemies are things that stand opposed to you in the heavenlies. The Bible says we don't wage war against flesh and blood. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. They are not carnal. They are for pulling down strongholds. They are things we wage war in the heavenlies against. And the Bible says, had the Lord not been on our side when the enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive. You would have been swallowed alive. Maybe 2025 was very good for you. May the Lord bless you and may that continue in 2026. But there are some of us who knew the enemy was waiting for us. But God did not allow it to happen. He says that the flood would have carried us away. The waters would have covered us. We almost drowned, but we did not go under the water. Somehow, by the grace of God, our head still kept above the water. The raging torrent would have drowned us. And verse 6, the Bible says, let us thank the Lord who has not let our enemies destroy us. What if God had not stepped in? What if grace had been withdrawn? What if mercy would have been withheld? The enemy would have taken us out. But thanks be to God who did not allow the enemy to destroy us. Verse 7, the Bible says, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. Hallelujah. And I want us to do what we did in Crowley last week. And I said, turn to the person sitting next to you. I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I have to do that 3 times. Turn to the person sitting next to you and tell them, the snare has been broken. 2026, the enemy will not trap you. Now let me say that again. You know, you missed a good place to say amen. 2026, the enemy will not trap you. Amen. It seems like there is a little bit more anointing here. 2026, the enemy will not trap you. Amen. 2026, the enemy will not trap you. Amen. Because the snare has been broken. Now, the snare being broken means 2 things. That those who are entrapped have already come out. And those who are not trapped cannot be trapped because the snare has been broken. The Bible says we have escaped. And the word there, escaped, in Hebrew means, it's malat, which means we have been delivered. We've been preserved. We've been rescued. We have escaped from the snare of the fowler. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, however 2025 has dealt you, I came to tell you that 2026, the Lord shall be your Ebenezer. He shall be your stone of help. The enemy has no hand on you. The enemy has no hold on you. The enemy remains defeated. And the Bible says in the book of Colossians that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, he disarmed the enemy. I like what PJD says, that the enemy has no arms because the enemy disarmed him. He made him powerless. The Bible says he took away everything that stood opposed to you. Any code. Now, code means decrees, declarations, any ordinances that stood against you, he nullified them. He canceled them. Any word spoken against you was canceled by Jesus Christ. And not only that, the Bible says he triumphed over them and made a public spectacle of them. Jesus has overcome. Jesus is our Ebenezer. 2026 is going to be our year of victory. Shall we bow down for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. Thank you for preserving us, Lord, in 2025. You rescued us from things we didn't even know were waiting to trap us down. Lord, we thank you for breaking the snare of the fowler. Thank you, Lord, because you are our Ebenezer, our stone of help. We didn't make it because we were more intellectual, more spiritual, more wealthier, or whatever. Lord, we didn't make it because we had all things going for us. But we made it because you carried us. We made it because you were our stone of help. And at Mizpah, Lord, you are still watching over us. And Lord, at Shin, Lord, you are still our rock of refuge. And today at Ebenezer, we say, thank you for the help. Thank you for the help you're sending from the sanctuary. Thank you for the help you're sending us from Zion. Thank you for the help that you're sending us from your holy habitation. Thank you for the help that you're sending us from your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, because the Bible says that you crown the year with bounty. We thank you, Lord, for sending us help. We are not helpless. We are not hopeless because God is our Ebenezer. And Lord, as Kingdom Faith Church family, we declare that 2026, we shall enter with the blessing of God. We shall enter with the victory of God. We shall enter with the abundance of God. We shall enter with the health of God. We shall enter with the power of God. We shall enter with the authority of God. 2026, we shall see the wonders of God. 2026, we shall see the victories of God. In the areas we have struggled, oh God, we are going to see triumphs in Jesus' name. In the areas of defeat, we are going to see victories in Jesus' name. Where we fell down, we are going to rise up again and shake off the dust and say we are receiving beautiful ashes. 2026 is our year of victory in the name of Jesus. Where the enemy thought he's going to shut us out, the Lord says, I have set an open door before you that no man can shut. 2026 is our year of victory in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.